The Man Booker Prize is one of the most prestigious literary awards in the world. It's given to a work of fiction written in English and published in Britain. When the prize was begun in 1969, nominees were limited only to writers in Britain, Ireland, Zimbabwe, and the Commonwealth countries around the globe. 2 years ago, the prize changed its rules to allow writers from across the English-speaking world, including Americans, to be considered by the panel of judges. Last month, the short list of six finalists was announced for the 2015 Man Booker Prize. The winner will be announced tomorrow. One of the finalists is Baltimore's own Anne Tyler, who was nominated for her latest novel, A Spool of Blue Thread. Last February, Anne was kind enough to invite me to her home in Roland Park, where the book takes place. It chronicles several generations of the Whitshank family, and Anne started by introducing us to the middle generation, Abby and Red.
Well, I think of them as the center of the current Whitshank family. As you say, they're the middle generation. It's a family of building contractors. They've been building houses in Roland Park and Guildford and Homeland for some 60 years or something like that. And Red and Abby are now, as the novel opens, they're middle-aged, and they're thinking about their old age. So that's where I begin the story.
One of the things I love so much about this book and all of the other novels of yours that I've read is that every character is likable. Is likability or sort of just general pleasantness in a character something that's important to you, or something that you think is good grist for a novelist to imagine their lives with?
I suppose it's not essential for every novelist, but it takes me about 2 years to write a book. So I'm going to have to be living with these people for 2 years, and I just don't want to live with someone I dislike. On the other hand, there have been a few people that maybe haven't behaved well in my novels. In fact, the patriarch of this family is not entirely admirable. But I'm okay with that as long as I find some inner reason for their behavior and begin to sympathize with them.
The other interesting part about this book is that it goes backwards, if you will. Did that particular decision to structure it that way, did that pose writerly challenges?
It began that way because I wanted to write a book that I never had to finish. I hate finishing books. I hate the turning in of the book, the editing process, the publicity process, everything like that. So I thought, well, I'm getting on in years. I could just write this book that never ends, and I could do that by having many, many generations. And then my concern was, yes, but eventually I'll run out of generations because, you know, I'll be caught up to date. And I thought, well, not if I go backward in time. So I'll begin with the current generation. I'll move back. And I think the earliest date that I actually show in the book is 1926. And then I suddenly realized that before then, I wasn't that interested in the people, you know. So I stopped the book. I had to end it after all.
And turning in the book really is tough. That hasn't gotten any easier for you, has it, in the 20 novels that you've written?
No, it hasn't. And beyond the idea of saying goodbye to them is the idea, in a way, they've been my imaginary playmates for 2 years. And to expose them to outside eyes and have somebody say something cool about them would hurt my feelings. So, you know, again, it's on their behalf. I think, well, I don't want people to misunderstand them or say anything censorious.
Another great character in this book is the house. Talk about the importance of place, the importance of the physical location of where people live and how they spend their days.
I think I'm very concerned with place in my books because I don't have much of a sense of place. I wasn't raised in one place or one house. So I very consciously anchor my characters in a place.
Let's talk a little bit about Junior Whitshank in the novel, Junior and Linnie Mae. Junior is the father of Red, who is married to Abby, and they have the four kids. Junior is almost obsessed with this house that is owned by a family named the Brills. Why is the house so important to Junior, and is the importance to Junior, does that at all reflect its importance to you?
Junior is from a background we don't know at all at first, and it turns out to be very iffy background. So to him, the house is a sort of symbol of class, quality. He built it himself, so he knows it's well made. And he just wants to fit in. And one of the things that I say in the book, or have him think in the book, is something I've thought myself, which is we are theoretically a country without class, but somehow there's a bit around the edges that seeps in. So he never really feels that he's made it, but he clings to this house, which is the symbol for him, and which he longs to pass down forever to his family.
Let me do something that's patently unfair, and that is read you a quote that you gave to the New York Times in 1977. And Lord knows I wouldn't want to be reminded of things that I said 30 or 40 years ago, but you said something that struck me. You said, "It seems to me what I'm doing is I'm populating a town. Pretty soon it's going to be just full of lots of people that I've made up." What do you think of the town so far?
Oh, I'd like to live there. I'm fond of everybody in it. Why wouldn't I? I feel they're alive, to me at least.
Do you have a favorite citizen?
My favorite is Ezra in Dinner at the Homesick Restaurant. He breaks my heart, and I think he's a good man.
When you talk about time as well as place, I found that very poignant. Abby says something to the effect of that when you're young, time goes very slowly, and when you're older, time goes very quickly. And that's something that everybody sort of knows about. But you expand on it beautifully with an observation that I think is quite compelling. You say that we're young for such a fraction of our lives, and we're old for many, many years. Time flies fastest for all those years that we're old. So in a way, it all sort of equals out. It balances out. Those observations, is there a way that they come to you? Is there a method?
When I begin writing, it's so mechanical. I have none of those thoughts. I'm just trying to move my characters around on the page. And there's a moment when they begin taking charge, which I do know how airy-fairy that sounds, but most writers say the same thing. The characters take over. So at that point, for instance, Abby might start talking about time and her view of time. And I'm basically sitting back and saying, well, isn't that interesting? I never thought of that. You know, I have been known to laugh aloud in my writing room when one of my characters comes out with a piece of dialogue, and it's not like laughing at my own joke. It's that they were talking and they said something I never would have thought of. I'm writing to see what it would feel like to be somebody else. And then when I get it down, I think, so that it feels real to me, then I think I'd like other people to see what it feels like to be that person too. And that's it. I don't care if they take away a moral or a lesson of any sort.
Novelist Anne Tyler. We spoke last February at her home in Baltimore. A Spool of Blue Thread is shortlisted for the Man Booker Prize. The winner will receive £50,000. That's about $76,000. We'll let you know who that winner is on our next show Wednesday morning. I loved A Spool of Blue Thread, so personally, my fingers are crossed for Anne. Also on Wednesday's Maryland Morning, a discussion about the Democratic presidential candidates debate that takes place tomorrow night. Dr. Sherry Parks from the University of Maryland, Michael Fletcher from the Washington Post, and Republican strategist and blogger Richard Cross will join me, and we hope you can join us too. So until then, for Nathan Sterner, I'm Tom Hall. Have a great day.